doing a series of Watchmen broadcast here in the last couple months. I knew it was going to take me a while to get through it. And it's based upon the Apostle Paul's teaching and what he taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, watch out for someone coming preaching another Jesus and another spirit and another gospel. And I've been teaching on that and just kind of been studying. I like to go through the whole Bible. I like to ransack the whole Bible. Just get everything. You give me a chicken leg and there ain't going to be nothing left on it when I'm done. Amen. Okay. Unless I'm in a race with Sterling. He and I sat down to dinner one night and Gloria and Lisa had made a great big plate of fried chicken. Oh, yeah. And Gloria and Lisa got up. Me and Sterling got into a contest. I'd grab a piece and he'd grab a piece. And I'd grab a piece and he'd grab a piece. And all that, you know, that southern rule about you don't eat the last piece of chicken on the plate? I didn't care. I was trying to get to it. But I've been doing a study. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Numbers chapter 4. The idea of people. Now listen to this. People sitting in church. People sitting in the house of God. Having another spirit on them. Listening to another gospel, being told about another Jesus, a different one than what's in the Bible. And by the way, I'll just show you, well, I'll just make this simple. You read the Scriptures, and if the Scripture says this is how Jesus is, then you follow that. But if somebody says something different other than what's in the Bible, I don't care if they said, well, God told me this last night or God showed me this. I don't care what it is. If it's not the Jesus of the Bible, it's not the real Jesus. And you watch these people. You listen to what they say and take everything they say, match it up against the Word of God. And I've been studying that. I've been studying the issues of I'm dealing with right now, the idea of another gospel and how people are saved and how you can know that you are saved. And one of the principles that I stand on and we stand on here in this church is that man does not tell you you're saved. God tells you that. If a man or a church, if in some churches in this town, if you show up and do their little deals and take their classes and they give you a stamp of approval as far as church membership, they say you're saved because you're a church member, and that's wrong. That's false doctrine. And that's leading people into a false security of salvation. It's leading them to a false idea that they're really saved when they're not. Are you listening to me? I don't tell you that you're saved. John said, these things have I written unto you so that your preacher could tell. No, that's not what he said. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Now I'm going to ask the question this morning. Do you know that you have, that you possess in your soul the promise, the seal of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that you have eternal life in your soul today? Do you know that beyond any shadow of a doubt? And if you don't know that, today's your day. Today is your day. But the Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. God wants you to be saved. I don't believe that nonsense that, well, God has only picked a certain few people to be saved. I don't believe it. I believe God offers salvation to everybody. God's offering it to you today. You reject it, that's on you. But He's offering it to you today. And I ran across this verse and I was thinking about it, been thinking about it all week and thinking about it this weekend while I was preaching and God helped me put this together. In Numbers chapter 14, let me kind of give you the little background of what's going on here. In Numbers chapter 14, the Israelites had sent 12 spies into Canaan land. They'd been traveling for about a year, if I remember right. I may not be totally right on that, but they've been traveling through the wilderness. And they finally get to a place where they're going to go into the promised land. And before they do, they camp. And God tells them, pick one man from each tribe. So there'd be 12 of them. And He said, we're going to send them into the land for 40 days to look at the land, to see what's there, to see who's there, and so on. So after 40 days, these guys coming back, they come back with things they had never seen before. Two guys was carrying on a pole between them, on their shoulders, one cluster of grapes. Now, obviously, that was not some little cluster about this big. Two guys were carrying one cluster of grapes on a rod between their shoulders. That was a monster cluster. Amen? Did you know the Bible says that new wine is found in the cluster? Somebody say amen. That means you don't get drunk in the Spirit. Amen. appreciate you saying that. But here's the thing. 10 of them came and said, we cannot go into that land. There are giants. There are giant walls. They'll kill us. We were in their sight as grasshoppers. We cannot go. Do you know why? Do you know why 10 of them came back? Think of the law. Think of just 10 commandments. Stand up and proudly tell us how you have kept the 10 commandments all throughout your life. Please stand up and tell me how you have kept the 10 commandments in your life. You have not done it. Can I get an amen out of somebody?
Amen.
You have not done it. The law cannot get you into the promised land. Law can't get you. Law cannot save you. And so what happened was 10 of them came back. God had this by design. 10 of them came back and said, we cannot go in there. Two men, Joshua and Caleb, came back. These guys believed what God said. Now, I'm going to ask you a very serious, life-changing question this morning. Do you believe the Bible?
Amen.
Do you believe what God said? Well, men wrote the Bible. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God is the one who gave them the words to write that down. God, this Bible is God's Word. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe what it says? Will you trust in it? Will you rely on it? Will you turn to the Bible when things are not working out so well in your life? Will you do that? Now, here's what I'm getting at this morning. In just about every church in this town, there are people who are saved, who are truly born again, and they have the Spirit of God on them, in them, providing for them, leading them, guiding them, holding them up when they can't hold themselves up, and so on. And you know, the evidence of the Holy Spirit being in their life is evident in their life. And I believe that there are people all over this town, not just the ones coming to Bethel, have the Holy Spirit of God in them, and you can see it is manifested in their lives. You can see it. But I also believe there are people who are sitting in churches all across this town, all across this country, and it may be possible that there are people sitting here today, maybe watching out on the internet right now, who do not have the real Spirit of God in them. They have another spirit on them, something different than what God intended for them. And I didn't come here to judge you. I didn't come here to exalt myself up. The Bible says, teaches us that every man ought to examine himself to see whether he be in the faith or not. And so it's my job to go through my week, my day, my night, my life, my ideas, my philosophies, my character, my habits, my traits. It is my idea to examine my life to see whether I am in the faith or not. Now, I got a handful of people out here somewhere that loves to do that for me. Okay? And you know what? I don't mind that. Because if they're going to say something about Mike Hoggard, I'm going to listen to it and I'm going to say, Lord, is that true? Let God be true. And every man a liar, Jim Cedric. So even if this crowd out here that doesn't like me wants to say something bad about me, I'll let them say it. You know what? I'm going to listen to them and say, God, if that's true, you show it to me in the Bible and I'll repent. See, it's not my job to go after them and say, well, they're not saved because they said something about me. It's not my job to look at you sitting in this church and say, well, you didn't do this, or you didn't pay tithes, or you didn't come last Sunday. What's happened to you? It is not my job to look at the people in Bethel Church and say, you're not saved. If I didn't save you, I can't unsave you. It's not my job. You know whose job it is? It's yours. It's your job to examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith or not. Joshua and Caleb came back. They saw the exact same thing that the other 10 spies saw. They saw the exact same thing. They saw giants. I believe that. You know why? The Bible says it. They saw walls that were built so stout and so high, the guy said, we can't even climb those walls. Did you know that there's a place in Lebanon, not Missouri, over the Middle East, called Baalbek? The walls are still standing of one of those cities. The stones. There is a stone sticking up out of the ground over there, Phil. It is the largest cut, quarried stone in existence in the world. And it's halfway sticking in the ground. And if you see that, if you type that in at Google, you'll see there's a row of people, I don't know, 20, 30 people long, standing in front of that quarried rectangular stone sticking out of the ground. That's how big it is. We to this day do not have the ability to move that stone. We don't know how they did it. But that wall is built of stones just like that. Man could not have done that. You should just believe the Bible that there were giants in the land in those days. They're this big. Because our God is bigger than they are. And they said, God told our granddaddy Abraham, that was his land. God told his son Israel, Isaac, that was his land. He told Jacob, that was his land. All our forefathers knew that that was our land. God said we could have it. I think we ought to go in there. I think we ought to. I just, I know what I saw, but I believe God. And I want you to take that, wrap that around your heart one day this week. Because one day this week, or one day next week, or one day last week, you run into a situation that told you, you can't make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Take that, what Joshua and Caleb come back and said, we know what we saw, but we believe God. Wrap that around your heart. But anyway, here's the story. Numbers chapter 14. God had already told them. Well, God hadn't told them yet, but let me just go down to, I want to go down to verse 11. And we'll just pick it up as we move along. The Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. They will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, that thou goest before them day by day, by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, wherefore he has slain them in the wilderness. You know what was in Moses' heart? God's kingdom and God's reputation. Can I just disconnect from the message I have laid out this morning just for a few minutes and ask you the question? What are you concerned about, your own reputation or God's? Moses was concerned about God's reputation. Moses was actually counseling God. Now, this is not anything that God didn't know, but he wanted to present it to us in his word to let us know that our heart should be toward the name, the reputation, the kingdom of God first, and his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto us. Do you believe the Bible this morning? So he said, I beseech thee in verse 17, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And of great mercy, say amen to that. Forgiving iniquity and transgression, say amen to that. And by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But it's true. You know what Moses was doing? Can I just disconnect again? Do you know who Moses is portraying in this story? Thank you. Jesus Christ. You have broken God's law. Somebody say amen. Raise your hand. Nod your head. You're guilty. You know what your Savior did for you? He went and stood before the Lord. And he said, Lord, pardon their iniquity. There is one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. Wrap that around your heart this week. Amen. So he said, now, in verse 21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's why we're sitting here today. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. Look at that. How many commandments are there? When you broke them, you provoked God. They've tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Now, I'm going to unhook again. I want you to, and this is actually germane to the message that I'm going to preach this morning. There were those who came out of Egypt who perished in the wilderness who did not ever see the promised land. Paul, in the New Testament, repeatedly tells us to go back and look at this story. Why does he do that? Because it is obvious to me, it's obvious to anyone who will read this Bible honestly, that there are some who start out in belief who end up with an evil heart of unbelief. Just because you come and attend us in church this right now does not mean that God's going to fix you and it's all said and done until eternity. You have a choice to make in this life. Will you believe and will you continue to believe? Because I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, there are no unbelievers in heaven.
Amen.
You say amen to that. There's nobody up in heaven that said, well, I didn't really believe in this, but sure nice that I have it. That's blasphemy. That's nonsense, and it's unbiblical. And I'm going to show you, when I get to verse 24, I'm going to show you the difference. Now, I'm going to ask you this morning, what spirit do you have on you today? What spirit do you have on you today? Because I've been in here, Sister Bernice and Sister June and I, we've been in here. I've been in here since 1974 with you two. Sister Waymire, if she was here, I'd say the same thing to her. I've seen the people come in and out. I've seen them come in. And when I was a little boy, I thought these were the godly men, godly women. Oh, my goodness, I want to be like them. And you know as well as I do, there's many of them that will not ever darken the door of a church ever again in this lifetime. You know why? They quit. They quit believing. They stopped. Some, you know what happened in some of them? A preacher preached the Word of God and they said, I don't believe that. Walked out. Stony heart of unbelief, Jesus said in Mark chapter 4. Never to be seen again. God said they got a different spirit on them. Now I'm going to ask you this morning, what kind of spirit do you have on you? You examine yourself and examine the spirit. And all I'm going to do, listen, God makes these things so easy for me sometimes. I put together messages. I just look at what the Bible says. Just what the Bible says. What do you get? One verse after another. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And so I'm going to read some verses. Look at verse 24 with me. He said, but my servant Caleb, watch this now. My servant Caleb, because he had what? Another spirit. On him, with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. God gave Caleb and Joshua his eternal life in that he said they get to go into the promised land, and the rest of you are going to die in the wilderness. Sit down and eat that for supper. That's what he told them. Joshua and Caleb, other than the young ones that either had left Egypt and were too young to know the difference between good and evil, or those that were born during the 40 years, they are the only ones who got to go in. You think about that. You know part of what that means? If you're going to go to heaven, it takes a rebirth. Another generation has to go. And I want to tell you something. You can call yourself church member. You can call yourself saved. You can say, well, I've been saved 30 years. Or I've been a church member of this and church member of that. I don't care how long you brag about yourself. Listen, in order for you to go to heaven, you've got to have another birth. There has to be a new generation come out of you. There has to be something. There has to be a difference in your life in order for you to be eligible to go to heaven. Somebody say amen. A new birth will be another spirit that's on you. And it's not the spirit of rebellion. It's not the spirit of we can't do this. It's not the spirit of, well, I want to go back to Egypt. Even though we were slaves there, we had three meals a day. It's not the spirit. If you want to go in the promised land, you've got to have the Holy Spirit of God on you. Somebody say amen. Bored of this and all that other junk and how you put money in the plate and all that stuff that religion and world religion tells you will get you into heaven. And it's all a lie because you don't have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Now I'm going to run through some scriptures real fast and try. I want you to listen now to the Word of God because I'm going to run through these. Here's the evidence, and practically all of these are in the New Testament. Here's the evidence. Do you examine yourself this morning. Do I have the real Spirit of God? Do I have the different spirit that Joshua and Caleb had on them? Do I have that in my life? Moms and dads, children, old and young, listen to the Word of God this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. and declared to be the Son of God with power. You say, well, that's Jesus. That's not me. If it's Jesus' spirit, it should be your spirit. There's not two different spirits. There's not one for the Savior and one for the saved. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I want to tell you something. I don't care what anybody in this world says. The emergent church leaders are telling everybody you can live, you can shack up, you can commit fornication, you can be a sodomite, you can be all kinds of ill in the world. They're now telling everybody you can be a Muslim and go to heaven. That doesn't cut it. The Spirit of God, listen to me, is a holy one. You know what that means? Clean. It's clean. Now I want you to examine the contents of your mind this morning. You are the only one, and God are the only ones who know what is in your mind. Did you know in court, I pick up on stuff like this, in court, you cannot go testify of what you think is in somebody else's mind. You can't do that because only they know it and God knows it. And I want you to examine the contents of your mind this morning and ask yourself, do I have a clean spirit in me or am I filthy and defiled and everything else? Do you look forward to the filth that you get yourself in? Do you look forward to filth you see? Do you look forward to filth that comes out of your mouth? Do you look forward to filth of this world? Do you crave that stuff? Do you look forward to that stuff? And I want to tell you something. If you've got the Holy Spirit of God, I'm not saying you're going to be sinless and sin-free. What I'm going to be saying is that you have got a new spirit, which means you got a new appetite. You got it. Listen, you got something different on the inside of you that says, you know what? That stuff's junk. I don't want it in my life. I don't want to run around my heart, my mind. I don't want anything to do with it. And if I happen to fall into that again, I'm going to get on my knees and say, God, clean me up. You know what David said? David said after he committed that stupid sin with Bathsheba and all that stuff that entailed in that, he said, create in me a clean heart. And he said, renew a right spirit in me. So I want to ask you, is your mind clean? Is your lifestyle clean? Are your actions and your attitudes and your words out of your mouth, are they holy? Do you have a spirit of holiness in your life? Or are you just waiting to get out of church so you can tell the dirty joke you thought of while I was preaching? How do I know people do that? I've done it. Clean spirit. Clean Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 4 verse. It's been a long time. I'm not saying every time I get up here and preach now I'm thinking, oh, that was a good dirty joke. No, don't do that. Galatians chapter 4 verse 5. The Bible says to redeem them which were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. I like that. Somebody say amen. Because you are sons, watch this now. Because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. The Spirit of His Son is in your heart and it says, it cries, Abba! You know what that means? It's not a rock group from Europe. Abba is Papa. Dada, Daddy, Father. He deserves the respect of us calling Him Heavenly Father, Holy Father. But He is close enough to us that as we have been adopted in, listen to me now, we're not thinking that somebody else or some other spirit is our father. We're thinking that God is our father. And you know what? You know how you can call God your father? You got to be born again. Listen, I know who my earthly daddy was. Where do you think I get half of my stuff from? The older I get, the more I see myself as Milton Don Haggard the second. And my wife doesn't have to cringe for me. I cringe enough at it. Amen. I love my dad, but there's things about him I'm going, oh, Lord, don't let me inherit that. Oh, God, I don't want that. Okay? But I got it. And I got to fight it off. And I know who my earthly daddy was. But my earthly daddy's gone. He's gone. Can't bring him back. And if I didn't have a heavenly father, I'd be fatherless in this world. The Spirit, listen to me, you call yourself saved, oh, I'm saved, oh, I'm this and that and the other. Now, I'm teaching this on Wednesday night, and I want to tell you how you know you have the Spirit of God's Son in your heart. Is that when you sin, you know that God's going to come after you and whoop you. Brady, did your dad ever lay a hand on you? Listen, he didn't just say, yeah. He said, oh, yeah. You know what that means? Oh, my goodness, did he ever. Why did he do that, Brady? He loves you. Wants you to cut out that nonsense. Amen. You know what? Hey, he was trying to drive you out of that Jehovah's Witness. Amen. He didn't even know it then. He's trying to drive the nonsense out of us because foolishness was bound in the heart of Brady Crum. The rod of correction drove it far from him. And when Brady got saved, he got regenerated. A new generation come out. And now his real father is his heavenly father, God in heaven. Can I get an amen out of you people? God's not some distant thing or whatever. Or God is not what you turn him into. Hey, Big Daddy, this is your boy down here. You don't talk to God that way. Amen. Amen. You don't talk to God that way. You get down on your face before a holy God. He is your father. You bow your head before him and say, God, I revere you. I reverence you. I'm standing on holy ground and I'm shaking in my boots, God, because I know what you can do to me. You're my father. And God, if I have it coming, you whoop the fire out of me. You tear my hide off so I don't get away with anything in this world ever again. That's how you know you got a different spirit in you. But if you're one of those people that, I ain't kidding you, as soon as the preacher comes off of something out of that pulpit that comes out of that word of God, you say, I don't believe that stuff. I'm out. Come on, let's get out of here. We can go in that church ever again. Let's go down here where they go. Don't ask me to do that again. Then God's not your father, and you don't have that spirit in you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom. You know what that is? The opposite of that is foolishness. God starts driving away with the rod of correction the foolishness in your life and the foolish deeds that you used to do before you got saved. He starts driving that stuff away. You know what some people do? Some people will come to a church and they'll look holy and they'll look spiritual in their nice clothes and everything like that, but they're looking forward to getting into the sinfulness that they never left when they came to the altar. That's the same foolishness that they've got. And the Spirit of God will not tolerate that in them. And what He will do is that He will reprove them betimes. You know what that means? He'll get them early. How many of you, when you first found out that your kids did something, or when you did something as a kid, your mom and dad didn't wait a week, did they? They got... You did what? Now I'm going to wait till next year to give this to you. You didn't do that. And your daddy didn't do that either. Amen? Right now. That's what the word be times means. I mean, early. Boom. Get them. So it's a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Him. You know what that means? Watch this. Now, I like this. Boy, this is Bethel Church made over. This idea right here, spirit of revelation. That means that from Nebraska, he's been hanging around here for 2 or 3 days. You know, he's just a plain guy. Have I got you right so far? Just plain Jane? Not Jane. Plain John. He reads this Bible, and all of a sudden God shows him something, and he goes, whoa. Am I right? He'll read this Bible and God will give him revelation. Listen to me. The opposite of that is you waiting to show up at the church for the pastor to give you something you've never heard of or read before. You've got some other spirit other than the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is in you, it will drive you to your Bible and you'll read things in there and it will be profound in you and it'll be revelation to you. God is revealing things to you through His written word and through His Spirit. That's how you know you're saved. That's how you know you got the right spirit. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness. Yeah, and by the way, the real Spirit of God will tell you that what you've got waiting for you in heaven is an inheritance. It's not a wage. It's not what you... Let's see, a fake, false spirit will convince you that you are earning merits with God in heaven, and that you, by your actions... Listen to me now. You, by your actions and deeds, are building greater rewards in heaven than what other people will have. That is a lie. Yet I want to amen out of God's people. Amen! If you've got another spirit in you other than God's spirit, you will believe that you are performing things in this world by church attendance, Bible reading, tithing, everything else under the sun that everybody tells you you got to do, that you are building up merits and greater rewards in heaven than other people have. That is a lie. It's not true. Did you know the Bible says that we will with Christ inherit all things? What's waiting for you in heaven is your inheritance. It's not what you deserve. Somebody tell me what you deserve. Huh? That's what you deserve. You're not going to get what you deserve. You're going to get what God loves you enough as your Father to give you by way of inheritance. That's how you know you've got the right spirit in you. That's good preaching. I don't care if it's me or somebody else. It's good preaching. That'll help you. Anyway, the glory of His inheritance. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? By the way, the Spirit of God will help you believe according to the working... Watch this. According to the working of His mighty power, not yours. 2 Timothy chapter 1, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. So number one, do you have a spirit of power? Do you have the ability to say no to things that you didn't used to say no to? Do you have that ability? You don't have it in your flesh, Wayne Shirt. You have to have it through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God every now and then will take you and say, no! You can't do that! That's power. That's a spirit of power. Power over addictions. Power over things you had no power of. And of love! All of a sudden you love... Listen, all of a sudden you love preaching past 12 o'clock. All of a sudden you like listening to the gospel music instead of Willie Nelson. You love different things now that you're saved. You got a different spirit in you. You don't have that old raven that goes, give me corrupt roadkill. You know what the difference is? You got a dove in you that loves seed. Spirit of love, and listen, a sound mind. A sound mind. That means, in spite of all the infirmities of your flesh, your mind is settled that God is your Father, and He's going to lead you on into victory. Hebrews 10:29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite, that means you've done things spiteful unto, listen to this, the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace. Does God forgive every sin? Amen. Does God forgive murderers? He forgave Moses. Does God forgive adulterers and fornicators? He forgave Samson and Judah. Does God forgive sins? Does God forgive wicked sins, vile sins, nasty sins? Does God forgive those things? You better say yes, because I got a church plumb full of it. That's good amening right there. You know what's inside of you to say that? You got a spirit of grace on you. The opposite of that is, Pastor, I don't know how you live your life, but apparently I live my life a lot better than you do. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've been around people like that. I have been around people like that. And I got no use for them. I got a spirit in me that tells me that God forgives sins. And there's always somebody out there going, well, you're just getting everybody a license to sin. No, I'm not. Because if you're a son of God, you don't get a license. God gives you a rod for your sin. Listen, I'm not afraid to preach grace and thinking that you're going to use that for lasciviousness or something in your mind. Because if you're really a child of God, I'm not afraid of what you're going to go out of here and do. God will tear you up. Sister Bernice, be honest. Did my mother in this church have a reputation that if I did something wrong, I got away with it? If Jim Waymire caught me running, James Waymire caught me running around this church and he went and told my mama, I got it. Right, Jimmy? Now I know it. She still needs to every now and then. Amen? Amen! Spirit of grace! Spirit of grace, Jimmy Carmichael! Spirit of grace! I like a spirit of grace. Let me keep going. 1 Peter chapter 4. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Did you know that they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them? Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and God and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now I want to ask you a question. Is it? I know it's in everybody's nature that when somebody does something to us, we want to do something back to them, right? That's in our nature. That's our flesh. Does the Spirit of God in you hold you back and say, let me have it? Amen. That's how you know you got a different spirit on you. He'll hold you back and say, son, let me handle this one. Okay, Father, I will. That's how you know you got a different spirit. You're not looking to revenge everything that everybody's done to you. When your neighbor's dog got in your azaleas, you didn't throw a fit. You didn't cut down his mailbox in the middle of the night or put a burning bag of manure up on his porch. You let God have it. That's a different spirit. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know how you know whether or not you got the real spirit of God? You say, this is true.
Amen.
That's how you know you got the real Spirit of God in you. You say, you know, the Bible's true, Wayne.
Yeah.
Well, what about when it talks about unicorns? Is it true?
Amen.
That's what I taught them down there in Lebanon. They were just going, you mean it really means that? Oh, yeah, it really means that.
Right.
Dragons and unicorns and giants. All that stuff that everybody says is a myth and a fable and doesn't exist, never existed. I actually showed them the evidence that it existed one time on this earth. And I want to tell you something. You get the real Spirit of God in you, you won't call God a liar. In translation, that's a different spirit. Revelation 11:11. After 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. A spirit of, do you have a spirit of life? Do you have a spirit that loves life? And I'm talking about living. I'm not talking about having a party every day. That's not living. That's just junk. Amen. Do you enjoy things that are alive or things that are dead? Listen, you go out and have, ladies, young ladies, you go out and have yourself an abortion. You do not have a spirit of life inside you. You got a murdering spirit inside of you.
Amen.
Sick. You should be ashamed. I'm not trying to tell you, you're going to hell if you're not saved. That's all there is to it. But there's people who call themselves Christians and go out and have either themselves or their daughters or their granddaughters kill their babies. A spirit of death means that you like to watch them old monster movies and things like you watch things that are in the occult. You revel in things that are centered around death and dead things, and you listen to death metal. You listen to music that is all about death and not about life. That's how you know you got a different spirit on you. Last one. And I fell at his feet. Revelation 19. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the testimony. Watch this now. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Do you have a spirit? And say, well, I don't like all that prophecy talk all the time. I don't like that stuff. You should. You know what prophecy is all about? What's going to happen to you in the future?
Amen.
That's prophecy. What is going to happen to you in the future? And I want to tell you something. You listen to me real good, and I'm done. If you're sitting in this church house this morning, or you're watching me on camera, and you were to bow your head and be honest. See, it's the spirit of truth. If you were to be honest with yourself and say, you know what? I do not know where I'm going when I die. I would say, God, put a right spirit in me so that I know where I'm going when I die. That's prophecy. It's the future. Do you know your future? Are you convinced that you are on your way to heaven and nothing in this world, not devils, not the gates of hell itself, is going to prevail against you, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to go to heaven when you die? If you don't have that spirit in you, you got the wrong spirit. There's church, Catholic Church will tell you, now, Baptist preacher, nobody can know that. That's a lie. Oh, you say you have the assurance of salvation? Well, our Pope Bonifacio the 57th said that no one can know that. You're probably going to go to purgatory. That's a lie, and it's a different spirit. Do you know? See, the testimony of Jesus Christ, you know what it is? This is right here. This is the spirit of prophecy. Do you believe this book? Will you believe the record of the Word of God? And will you bow your head and at least ask in honesty before God, not before me, but before God, I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I want you to bow your head. I love you. 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 And I promise you, what's good for the goose is good for the gander out here. I preach this stuff and I study this stuff and go through it. I'm bowing my head. God, I want to know. God, I want to have that spirit in me. I want it to be right. I want it to be clean. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't want some church. I don't want some man. I don't want some guy who told me 30 years ago, 40 years ago when I was a kid that I came to an altar. Now I'm saved. Nothing can ever happen to me. I don't want that. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt from the Word of God that I'm going to heaven. And if God, and if I don't know it, God, I want you to put it in me. So I'm going to ask you this morning, just in the honesty of the hour right now, for you to pray in the quietness of the hour. God, I want to know. I want to know. I want that spirit of prophecy in me. I want to know. I'm going to pray a prayer in a little bit. And if you'd like to come down to one of these benches down here, I'll come down here and pray with you and help you. You say, well, I'm afraid. That's a spirit. It's a spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear.